Episode 2, Conscience. The huge hall with high ceilings was chock full of people. The rows of seats had been specially removed to increase its capacity and give everyone the opportunity to meet with the teacher. Now thousands of students were looking at the stage with burning eyes and holding their breath, listening to every sound, every word, so as not to miss a single grain of wisdom. There were people of different ages, genders, and social statuses. They were united by one thing, the desire for spiritual growth and development, the desire to feel the warmth and unconditional love coming from the keeper of the knowledge. Here and there flashed the bright orange clothes of the students of the inner circle, those who once made their choice in favor of light and confidently followed this path. One of these students, standing in the front rows, raised his hand. He was a tall, thin man with a small, neat beard, attentive brown eyes, and a spiritual face. The teacher nodded to him, giving him a warm look in which wisdom, forgiveness, and kindness shone. The conversation was about conscience, and this topic aroused great interest and a large number of questions. "Teacher, how do we not confuse conscience and guilt?" the man asked, looking at the stage with the hope of finding the right answer, to understand, to get the right direction of his spiritual quest. "The feeling of guilt can be different," the keeper of the knowledge replied. "A sense of guilt can be associated with conventional morality. For example, when parents say, 'You are a flunker, your results are poor, and you are always misbehaving,' and there is a sense of guilt before God, before our higher self, when we feel guilty because we do not grow, do everything mechanically, do not strive for awareness, and forget about ourselves, about the path of spiritual development. This is because no one has ever told us how to do it correctly, neither adults nor teachers at school or university. This is a completely different level of guilt, and such guilt awakens conscience." "How do we awaken it?" someone's ringing voice was heard in the audience. It belonged to a pretty, middle-aged brunette in an elegant business suit, who was standing in the crowd to the right of the stage. "What do we need to do in order to experience this higher sense of guilt?" The sage turned his gaze to the woman and took a few steps in her direction. In his long black robe, he moved with a surprisingly smooth but confident gait, as if he was not walking, but hovering at a short distance above the floor. "We need to repent more often. Remember what we have done wrong, where and how we fell asleep," he replied softly and without any edifying tone. In his intonation, there was only a desire to help, to give an answer to the question and the opportunity to understand the truth. "We have to realize where we acted mechanically, where negative emotions took hold of us. If we begin to repent of all this, then our conscience slowly begins to awaken. Repentance is the basis for awakening the conscience." Satisfied with the answer she received, the brunette nodded, deep, intense thought written all over her face. She was thinking, plunging into herself and analyzing her actions. And meanwhile, a young blonde girl asked another question. "Beloved Master, is the voice of conscience the voice of God inside? Why do negative emotions have such an impact that they drown out this voice?" The sage listened attentively to the student and looked around the hall with a bright smile. "What have we seen since childhood?" he asked, addressing everyone. Have we seen saints who pray, who are in repentance all the time, who do everything according to their conscience?" He paused and looked around the audience, giving them the opportunity to reflect on this. There was silence in the hall for a few seconds, and then a slight wave of murmuring swept through it. Many started talking to each other to express their thoughts and guesses. "No, we have not seen that," the sage continued, answering his own question. "We have seen an example of constant negative emotions coming from our parents, relatives, and teachers at school. You remember teachers crying hysterically, shouting in class. That is how they raised you. A small child sees only negative emotions from childhood. Basically, children have much more positive emotions than the adults around them. A small child is suppressed in every possible way, and natural, positive emotions are denied or considered bad. Laughing without reason is the sign of stupidity. What are you so happy about? What are you having fun for?" "I started writing poetry, and I showed a poem saying, 'Mom, I wrote a spiritual and religious verse.' But she only said, 'There is a mistake here and a mistake there.' She saw only spelling in the verse, and the meaning was incomprehensible to her." The teacher paused again, carefully peering into the hall, trying to determine how clear his words were. "Therefore, it is natural," he began again, "if a person sees such negative emotions around, he begins to display his own negativity. This is considered the norm. I feel offended. Good, you are doing the right thing. I am angry and afraid of something, for example, because I got an F. Well done. We are encouraged to do this." Thus the cult of negative emotions in society began to develop. Small children are so positive, active, cheerful. They look at everything correctly and do not identify with anything. They are much more spiritual than any adult. But adults are trying in every possible way to suppress them, break them, make them a fool, so that children become the same as them. "But why is this happening?" the same girl who asked the question about negative emotions exclaimed, with sincere surprise. "Because the morality of society aims to make everyone the same. The Procrustean bed of public opinion and society cuts off or stretches everything. The child is brought up according to the form of society, according to the form of morality that is accepted. When he grows up, he becomes like everyone else, devoid of a large number of sublime emotions and endowed with a large load of negativity. And some people can even go crazy. They have to be placed in psychiatric clinics because of negative emotions. It is necessary to understand this as early as possible and begin to change. There was a reason Christ said, 'Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.' That is, children are much more spiritual than any adult." The keeper of the knowledge finished speaking and slowly returned to the center of the stage, his figure in a cylindrical headdress and a high-collared robe, fascinated and attracted glances. A surprisingly bright energy emanated from the teacher. It filled everything around, creating an atmosphere of all-encompassing love, kindness, and joy of knowledge. "Tell us, teacher, how do we awaken the conscience?" one of the students asked, a middle-aged man with a strong-willed face that had already been touched by the first wrinkles. "How do we understand that it is conscience? How do you feel it?" Having asked the questions that concerned him, the man began to listen with rapt attention, without taking his eyes off the sage. There is fear, shame, and conscience, the keeper of the knowledge spoke again. Fear is when we do something because we are afraid of negative consequences. For example, if we are told, if you don't do it, you won't have dinner, then we act out of fear. There is shame. This is what we were instilled during childhood. For example, it is impossible to walk naked in the street. We were taught what is shameful and what is not. It is related to morality. And there is conscience. It is related to spiritual development. Conscience awakens when we are guided, not by fear that something will not be given to us, and not by conventional morality, but by shame. We begin to feel our conscience when we act spiritually, that is, spirituality toward God, toward our spiritual development, and awakens in us. I have sinned, I have done something wrong. That is conscience, and we should be guided by this feeling. Conscience is a very sublime feeling, a sublime emotion. Although it has a certain negative moment, love and joy, however, are positive. And conscience seems to be negative, but it is this negative aspect that we really need. Conscience pulls us back all the time, stops us, and directs us. It is like our inner guru, like a God who awakens inside us and begins to guide us. That is what conscience is. This is an amazing inner feeling that allows you to realize what is right and what is not. A person may not even understand the situation, but his conscience tells him. In our emotional center, we already have a deep knowledge and feeling of this world. If we awaken our conscience, we immediately begin to understand whether this is the truth or that is a lie. Even if we have not read any special books, if our conscience has awakened, we can simply be guided by it and reach the level of saints. But conscience is inconvenient for our false personalities, our false selves. It prevents the manifestation of everything that is nasty and filthy. Therefore, people are trying to bury it in every possible way, so that it does not manifest itself, justifying themselves in every possible way. These excuses bury the conscience, and then the voice of God in us becomes weaker and weaker, and one day we stop hearing it at all. We disconnect from God. It is like we are saying, God, you're bothering me. I am feeling negative, and you're preventing me from feeling it. Then we begin to bury God, deviate from Him. And as soon as we have heard the voice of God, we must immediately listen to Him, try to follow Him. And only then does this voice start speaking more and more strongly in us. The sage stopped and once again carefully looked into the hall, waiting for new questions. Do I understand correctly that when conscience awakens, there is a kind of fight, of internal discomfort? A woman in the front row asked. At first, it was very difficult and uncomfortable for me to be in this. I began to focus on the fact that I would improve, and it became easier. Did I do right? Of course, the sage replied. Do not be afraid of this discomfort. Yes, it is unpleasant and painful to realize your own wretchedness. You can be horrified by this. Therefore, the person does not want to see it. He makes excuses or is distracted by something else, switches to some other activities just to avoid looking at himself realistically. But we need to face that. Then the illusion will disappear. If we can see ourselves realistically, it means that the change has already begun. And if we do not see and do not want to see ourselves for real, if we want to fashion some kind of mask and show it to others, then we will never change. Only the mask will change, and we will remain the same. And if we want to see ourselves for real, then this is the first step. The Keeper of the Knowledge paused, casting a loving glance around the hall, and finally spoke again. The people quieted down, and poems began to sound in the silence. The words fell from the teacher's lips and swirled in the air like a beautiful magic melody. They combined into an amazing harmony of rhymes and meanings, completely filling the space and opening the way to the realization of important principles. From childhood, the worldly ties enlaced my soul with dark delusion. That had no sense, I realize, there is no fear but evolution. I won't retreat before the wall of a fictitious preconception. I won't turn craven in the brawl. Life in a crowd is self-deception. The flesh and blood rage like a storm, and stresses tear the heart asunder. Hush, the body is your home. In it, beat tranquility forever. My thought will break the chains of sin, invisible and overwhelming, and death will lose and I will win. The bliss of life will be unending. When the sage finished speaking, the student silently pondered his words for some time. It was evident from many faces that they were thinking, projecting the teacher's words on themselves, trying to understand their own feelings and states. The faces of many listeners were illuminated by an inner light, feeling an incredible joy of knowledge. Such conversations with a teacher did not leave anyone indifferent. After them, the students' heads cleared up, the blinders fell off, which for many years had closed their eyes, preventing them from looking at things realistically and seeing the truth.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.